The other day, I came down to the living room and found my roommates in the middle of a tour of all the genderbender and genderfuckery type episodes from the various cartoons they'd watched as kids. Which made for a funny coincidence. As we've moved into the fall months, I've been struggling to wrangle my thoughts on an episode about revolutionary girl Utena. I've been writing and rewriting and writing it again and unable to get it to a spot that I've been satisfied with. I didn't want to just parrot a bunch of bullet points outlining the show's plot, even though it absolutely smacks of gender. Like, it fucking reeks of it. But honestly, it's hard to muster an original thought or criticism about one of the most discussed and influential anime of a generation. So, I'm still going to talk about it a little bit, but I think I'd rather take this episode in a broader direction. Like, why is cis society so obsessed with concepts like cross-dressing, gender-bending, body-swapping, and secret genders being revealed? Is it simply the mystique of unveiling what life is like for another gender? Or could there be something deeper there? The genderbender concept isn't exclusive to the era I'm discussing today. Hell, one of the first recorded stories in history was a genderbender story. But there was such an oversaturation of media in the 90s and early 2000s that you could scarcely swing a magic wand without accidentally turning a boy into a girl in a Saturday morning cartoon. It seemed that just about everyone was swapping brains with their sister, or waking up in the body of their female best friend, finding a girl clone of themselves, or getting magically transformed into a woman because they accidentally fell into a cursed hot spring. I mean, we've all been there, right? It's a pretty common trope, so let's break it down. Men and women are just so confusing. It's impossible for them to be friends or to even understand one another. So something strange, silly, stupid, or stupendous happens and poof, boys become girls or girls must pretend to be boys. Hijinks ensue. Someone finds out. Everything nearly explodes. But at the end of the day, everyone ends up back in their original bodies and everything is fine. I can think of a show or an episode of a show that featured a gender-bending or cross-dressing episode for pretty much everything I watched when I was younger, and every time it came up, it was like a lifeline to me. A little piece of something that I couldn't quite put my finger on and wouldn't really be able to put my finger on until I was an adult. But it's fucking weird, right? I mean, cis people accuse us of being obsessed with our genders and our sexualities and our presentation all the time now, but I don't think any of the staggeringly popular cartoons I watched as a kiddo were written by actual trans folks. Which leads me to ask, why is it okay to explore your identity, but only to the point that it can't be walked back? Revolutionary Girl Utena is probably single-handedly the biggest influence on a young Jacqueline Clyde's taste out of any single piece of media in existence. When she was a child, and sorry, not me, Utena was rescued by a handsome, daring prince. In a Disney movie, she'd probably fall madly in love with him and grow up knowing that they were destined to be together, but this definitely isn't that. Instead, Utena grows up wanting to be the prince. And that desire is pervasive in every aspect of her life. She refuses to wear the school's female uniform, instead preferring the boys. She's a great athlete who is kind, sweet, and protective of all of the women in school, including one of her friends who flings herself and the occasional marriage proposal into Utena's arms at every opportunity. I mean, I get it. I go to a rock climbing gym, so I meet that kind of butch in real life like twice a week, and I'm never not completely smitten, so get in there, girl. In the first episode, Utena finds herself stuck in the middle of some weird power jockeying being enacted in secret by the student council, and another girl, Anthy, appears to be a pawn in said power games. Now, Anthy is the Rose Bride, which means that she is destined to marry the Sword Holder, whoever that is. As the first episode, it just so happens to be a shitty abusive bastard, and being Utena, our dashing hero takes it upon herself to protect Anthy from said abusive bastard's public meltdown, inadvertently becoming the Sword Holder in the process. A kick-ass title that, as mentioned, comes with a free girlfriend. this plot point is perhaps a touch contrived, but the whole fucking thing, it's the gayest shit I've ever seen. There's magic, sword duels, betrayals. It's real thirsty sword lesbians type shit. After all, it's the archetypal lesbian anime for a reason. So much so that the plot is basically reused in Gundam Witch for Mercury many years later. I don't know what it is. Those lesbians sure do love calling their girlfriends my groom within seconds of meeting them, which is, I guess, why we have that reputation for U-hauling. Despite Utena's desire to play the role of prince, I don't necessarily see this as a transgender theme, though I can definitely see that read. For me, it's more of like a lowercase g gender. She wants to embody the masculine role in a fairy tale. She wants to be the romanticized ideal of a dashing prince who sweeps in at the last moment to rescue a helpless maiden from a dastardly foe. Utena wants to be a fucking butch. Well, I mean, as butch as anime women ever seem to be allowed, even if she doesn't quite have the language to express that during the show. And at the end of the day, butch is a form of gender expression that does not conform to the societal ideal of what womanhood should look like. Notably, the adolescence of Utena would come out a few years later and make the entire dynamic of Utena and Anthy's relationship very, very explicitly romantic. But the show's status as a queer icon kinda happened in spite of many weird translations and marketing and production attempts to reframe the narrative around the character's relationships to men. No, seriously, take a shot every time promotional material shows Utena with one of the male leads, who barely have screen time, by the way, instead of Anthy. Once again, I think it's because deviation from the norm is seen as acceptable, so long as it's walked back before it's too late or made too explicit, and thus too subversive to be marketable. More recently, we saw this same thing with Gundam Witch from Mercury, too. Writers try to toe the line with as subversive of characters as they can, but the people in charge of production inevitably step in to ensure that it remains straight, cis, and easy to sell toys to. Utena, Ranma One Half, Oren High Host Club, there were so many things I watched as a teenager that would become incredibly influential to me as I grew up and had to look internally at my own gender, and all of them, especially Utena, helped because they were stories about growing into adolescence, and about gender, and about introspection. I thought constantly about what I would do if I had to pretend to be a girl, or how I might explain to my family and friends that a magical wish turned me into a woman while I wasn't paying attention. Oopsie. And that kind of prepared me for when I'd have to do it for real. For when I'd have to decide what kind of woman I wanted to be, and what that meant for me as a trans person moving forward in my interactions with the world. Somehow, I never quite made it back to the end up in my original body step of the genre synopsis, but I'm glad for that. It's almost like my introspection was always destined to lead me here. And in the end, it was all okay anyway. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more or hear these episodes early, you can support us on patreon.com/totallytrans for access to our paper zine and our Discord server. Regrettably, I'm still waiting for a handsome butch prince to come and save me from twitter.com, so until then, you can find me at @where_wife. And, in a much happier note, I'm also on Blue Sky at @werewolfgf. This episode was edited, written, and hosted by Jacqueline Clyde, and was brought to you by the homoerotic act of holding your rival at sword point. You know, just like a little bit of that rapier under the chin, holding your face up for some forced but smoldering eye contact where you can barely tell if it's hatred, begrudging respect, or abject lust in their eyes. And it's probably a mix of all three. Any thought about that way too hard, and I gotta go, bye!